Good morning. The NFL is about to start. Some people are excited. Some other people in the same households are not. There's a fascination with the NFL. There's a fascination with the XFL. There's a fascination with MMA, with boxing, with Olympics, with anything tough. There's this fascination in our culture, in our society. And not all of it's wrong. Strongman competitions, there's all kinds of things, and there's some good to it, but we are fascinated as a society, and we look up to and try to follow tough guys. Strong men. Brute strength. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. But what might be interesting is that in all of those, some of them might be gentle people, but in all of those, gentleness is not displayed. Gentleness is not elevated. It's not promoted. It's not advertised. And I wonder what would happen if we took all of those things and we took away the strong brute strength part of it and we made it gentle. We said, we're going to have a gentle game of football, right? Wonder what that would look like, first of all. Or if there were gentle competitions, gentle sports, movies about gentleness. Guys that you would think would fight or hurt each other and then walk up and give each other a hug or a high five and be like, hey, I like your sandals, whatever it is. Do you think the results would be the same? We do have a fascination with the violent. The rough and tumble. And there is this interesting contrast that none of that is how God displays himself. Now, there are parts in the Bible where God shows his strength. But we know for a fact in our lives and in the Bible that God is a gentle God. And God is a bunch of these things that we've been studying, these fruits of the Spirit. We've been going through Ephesians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This morning we're on gentleness. So I'm going to ask you all to stand and we're going to read a story within a story in the book of Mark, chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, please open them. If not, you can just follow along or listen as I read through this. This will be in the ESV. But we're going to see a picture of the gentleness of Jesus. Mark 5, starting in verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the report about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, If I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Please pray with me. Lord, this morning, may we allow you to speak to our hearts through your word, through your Holy Spirit. May we allow you to teach us what it means to be gentle, how we can cultivate that. May we put our distractions aside the things that are trying to pull our minds and our hearts away from you this morning. May we allow you to take care of that later and give you our attention this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. It's a beautiful little story, again, within a story. But what we see here is God displaying some of his gentleness in Jesus. Now, we have Jesus who has just gotten off the boat. There's crowds coming to him, so there's people all around. And a man comes up and basically begs him to heal his little daughter who's dying. And even though he just got off a boat, even though there's a crowd, Jesus says, okay, I'll come. And so Jesus is on his way to go help see this little girl who's dying, and a woman comes up and just touches his garment. But Jesus is, in a sense, interrupted by a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. Women, you would understand this way more than men would, but we all understand what bleeding is, we all understand what suffering is, but 12 years, she's probably desperate. She's used all her money, doctors haven't helped, and even though Jesus was on his way to help a man whose daughter is dying, she breaks in through the crowd and touches his robe because she thinks that she'll be healed. And she is healed. And Jesus is interrupted on his way to do something important, and yet he stops. And he addresses her. But it's how he addresses her that I want us to see. He looked around to see who had done it, and she was in fear and trembling, and he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Even though there's a crowd, even though they're bumping and thronging around him, and he's on his way, he's interrupted, and he says, daughter. He didn't say, dang woman. He didn't say, hey lady, I'm on my way to heal a little girl who is dying. Do you see her dad? He didn't say, what are you doing? Do you see all these other people here that need me? He looks at her, he stops, and he says, daughter. In fact, Matthew, in 9:22, his version of this, Jesus says, take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well. He calls her daughter. In a sense, he's showing her, and even everybody else, that he loves her. That she is his daughter. That's God's child. And that she is important enough. Her problem is not too big. Her uncleanness is not too unclean. His busy schedule is not too busy. And his interruption that he deals with is okay. And he calls her daughter and heals her. Totally gentle, lovingly gentle. And this is God's gentleness on display, obviously, in the life of Jesus. God is gentle. The bottom line, we have, if you have your slides or you have your outline, pull your outline at. We have our bottom line in gentleness. So we want to see that we need to display the gentleness of God. But we should seek to be gentle like Jesus. We should seek to be gentle like Jesus. We're going to kind of get into this, how God is gentle, how he wants us to be gentle, but that it doesn't just happen like many of these fruits. We've been going over the fruit of the Spirit. Again, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and next week is self-control. God is showing us his gentleness. The first thing I want us to see, God is gentle. God is gentle. Like all of his attributes, he displays these things. He shows us them way before he tells us to be them. He doesn't just send us on our own and say, hey, go figure this out. God is gentle. And we're supposed to have these fruits. God wants us to have these fruits. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, three in one, they're all gentle. God teaches us about his gentle in many ways all throughout the Bible. And in fact, in Isaiah, he tells us through the prophet Isaiah about God's power and about his gentleness, even as a shepherd. If you look at Isaiah 40, verse 11, we should have it a slide. It says this, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Like a shepherd. Can you picture that? The mental picture. He tends his flock. He gathers the lambs in his arms. and carries them in his bosom and leads those who are with young. The gentleness, the protection, the caring, the compassion of who God is. God is the good shepherd. He knows what we need. He knows what we want. He knows what is good for us. And he guides us. He carries us. Have you ever felt like you've been carried by God? Like, I don't know how I got past this last month. Oh yeah, it must have been God carrying me. Or have you ever been in a situation where if someone was to ask you a week earlier, hey, this situation is going to arise, you would say, I hope not. I'm going to be a basket case if that comes up. Yet in the midst of that, something outside of you is different. God is carrying you. He's holding you. He's guiding us. God shows us in his word. He shows us with his prophet. In fact, Isaiah says in 42, he talks about this a little more. I'm going to read 42:1-3. This is God proclaiming through the prophet Isaiah about Jesus, the Messiah who's going to come. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. That's Jesus. A bruised reed he will not break. He won't cry aloud. He didn't scream in the streets. He didn't walk around with a big banner advertising and screaming at people. He didn't beat them over the head. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench. Have you ever felt bruised? Are you bruised right now? Is there a part of you inside that is wounded and needs a gentle touch? And I will be honest, it's even awkward for me as a man to say, needs a gentle touch, because it's so much not a part of our society. It's countercultural. But do you ever feel like, man, I just need a gentle hug? I need those. I'm not telling everyone to come hug me, but I need those at times. But sometimes we feel like we need that. Are you a smoldering wick? You can picture it. You ever seen a candle just before it goes out? It's like just needs oxygen or fuel, one or the other, right? You need both of those. Jesus won't even put that out. Picture that in a dark room. Flickering flame. You feel like that ever? Like, I'm barely on here, Lord. I ain't got much left in me. Whether that much is patience, whether that much is money, whether that much is health, whether that much is desire to continue following God because life is so hard, you don't know why it's there like that, and you're like, God, I got like this much. Yet, he doesn't wipe you out. He doesn't blow the flame out. He doesn't break the reed. He's gentle. He came to seek and save the lost, right? Jesus came to seek and save the lost. We were all lost. Some of us still might be lost. He came for those who are needy. He even said, it's not the well that need a physician, it is the sick. Many of us are sick in different ways. We're not completely perfect. God is here for us. Jesus came for us. In fact, he came with gentleness. Matthew 11:28-29. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. This is one of the most famous sayings of Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This word for gentleness in the Greek is proutes. The root word, gentle, is praus. It's translated gentle, meek. I think there's a couple more under. Considerate, unassuming, humble. This is who Jesus is, and he offers us this. He doesn't come with a sword to chop off our head if we've sinned one too many times, because I have sinned at least once. And once is too many. In fact, I probably sinned once since being up here, just because I'm human. Maybe there's someone else in here who has sinned this morning. If you've sinned, you need forgiveness. And God's forgiveness is not brutal. It's not violent. It's not crazy. It is gentle and lowly in heart. And he says, come to me, all who are weak and weary. He gives us forgiveness, grace, mercy, love, abundantly, over and over. Even if we've walked away, we've backslid. You know the story of the prodigal son. When he comes back after squashing all his money, his dad's money, his dad's stuff, living in squander, he comes back. His dad runs to him, puts a robe on him and a ring. He's gentle and loving and kind and accepting. That's the Lord we serve, amen? Guess what? That's the Lord those people need to hear about. And if we're not gentle, and we're supposed to be the embodiment of Jesus, what picture of Jesus do they see? God is gentle. And he tells us in multiple ways. Remember the woman at the well, Samaritan woman, God is gentle with her. He's going to heal Jairus' daughter. He's gentle with this woman who was bleeding. When Jesus rides in on the donkey in the triumphal entry, here's your king. It says meek in there. It's the same word, praus, gentle, mounted on a donkey. He comes humble. This is the Lord we serve. This is our example of how to be. We were attracted to God partly because of his gentleness. There's a world who needs to see the gentleness of God. And we see that in this story. So the first thing, God is gentle. Second thing I want us to see, God wants us to be gentle. God wants us to be gentle. And even when he approaches us in different ways, like Jesus said, come to me all weak and weary. Remember Elijah, when he was in the mountain, he's fleeing from Jezebel, who was not gentle. Read the story in 1 Kings 17, 18, 19. Elijah is running and he's scared. He's on this mountain. And God comes to him and speaks to him. But God's not in the wind. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. He's in the what? The low whisper. The still, small voice of God. He speaks to us with that. He addresses us with that. He wants us to be that. And it is amazing. I don't know if it's a juxtaposition or a contrast or how you say it, but that we have this almighty God with all the power and all the strength in all of reality, yet he comes to us like this. And he holds us like this. And he wants us to do the same for others. Are you gentle? We are a lot of things. Are we gentle? God wants us to be gentle. We know from the fruit of the Spirit. In Ephesians 5:1, the Apostle Paul says, therefore be imitators of God and walk in love, but he wants us to imitate God in all kinds of ways. God says, be holy because I am holy. God wants us to be like him. He gives us these examples, not just to say, hey, check it out. This is the God I am. Although he does that, but he also wants us to be like him. We know that Jesus transforms us, right? Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That is God transforming us, not us. He wants to transform us more into the likeness of Jesus. Ephesians 4, I believe we have a slide for this. Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. I therefore, this is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. To maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So part of our unity is gentleness with all these other attributes, but he wants us to be gentle. And he urges us, but the walk part, walk with gentleness, is it like, oh, I just put it in my purse? Not that I wear a purse, come on now. But like, is it that someone would put it in their purse and walk around, or put it in their wallet? Or what if it's like, oh, I just have a limp, and it's my gentleness limp. So I walk around like this, and someone's wrong with you. What's wrong with me? Oh, it's just my gentleness. Oh, look at Brandon. He's got a gentle limp. That's great. Super. Hey, I bet you that guy's gentle too. He has limp. I don't think that's necessarily what God's teaching us. But he wants it to be part of our walk. Walk with it. It's this characteristic in our daily walk, in our daily lives. Do we have gentleness? Is it part of who we are? In Colossians, Paul says, put on then, he says meekness, but again, that word is praptes, same exact Greek word as gentleness. Put on then, it's like a garment. So we've said this before with other things, but maybe when you're getting ready in the morning, maybe you picture it. Maybe you write it on your closet. I'm putting on gentleness today. Because I won't wake up with it. I wake up with Brandon ease, and that's just a weird disease. Please, sorry, I didn't mean to rhyme like that, but when you... just came, but when you wake up, sometimes it's all about us, and we have to remind ourselves, wait a minute, it's about God. God already saved me. My future's secure in heaven with the Lord. I need to be an example for him. I need to walk the walk. I need to walk the talk, and part of that walk is gentleness. So I got to put that on. Maybe if you're putting on makeup, and I mean it literally, maybe your blush, you think of it, whatever it is, or your tie, gentleness. Something, how, it's just a picture, but it needs to be part of us. And then Paul uses this word, U-R-G-E, urge. Sound like second grade, huh? U-R-G-E, urge. Maybe we should write that on our wall. He's not just saying, hey, by the way, Tuesday morning, 9:47, when you're done with your coffee, take a break at work. If there's nothing else going on, and there's no one else to talk to, and you have no other emotions to deal with, and no other thoughts, maybe you should just take a look at gentleness. No. Paul is urging us to seek out gentleness. Urging, that means it's important. What would you urge your kids to do before they go out with their car? Drive safe. Don't drink and drive. I want you to come back safe. What would you urge your parents to do? Call me if you need help. He's urging us. This is important. This is vital. In fact, there's a quote. I have it written down here somewhere. There's a quote. Donald Guthrie. Now, check this out. Jerry can put it up. Donald Guthrie was this New Testament scholar. He wrote commentaries. Christian behavior in contemporary society was, this is back then, of utmost importance for the furtherance of the gospel. I'm going to read it again. Christian behavior in contemporary society was of the utmost importance for the furtherance of the gospel. Please keep it there for a minute, Jerry. What he's saying here is, for the gospel to spread and people to understand and want who Jesus is in us, our conduct is important. Our conduct has implications. It has effect. There's a cause and effect. And he's saying, for the furtherance of the gospel, our behavior matters. Now, I would bet that this guy, Donald Guthrie, never met him, but I would bet that he would be okay if we said, hey, we're going to warp this, and we're going to add to it. We're going to amend it for 2023. Christian behavior in Cyprus was of the utmost importance for the furtherance of the gospel. Or if maybe you don't live in Cyprus, maybe it's Long Beach, Southern California, whatever it is. Christian behavior in Southern California was of the utmost importance for the furtherance of the gospel. Or United States, or the world. It is important how we act. We can't just say, God's going to save who he's going to save, so I'm going to be who I'm going to be. That's just great. That is not the way Jesus taught his disciples to live. It's not how his disciples taught us that Jesus taught them. Urge for gentleness. But, like many of these fruit, it's not automatic, right? You don't just have it. Some people, I believe, are gentle in nature. I totally believe that comes from God, and that's a whole other discussion for another day. But gentleness comes from God. He invented it. It was part of him, and he showed us, and he made us in his image. But it doesn't just come, right? We're urged to walk in a manner to which we've been called, which means God calls us to walk in that. God is calling each and every one of us to walk with gentleness. Consider that. It's part of our calling. What does God want from me today? Well, I know he wants you to walk in gentleness. I know it. Because it says it multiple times. And in fact, in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, the things he's talking about before. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Pursue it. What do you pursue? Probably, we pursue money, and that's not bad. We got to have it to live, especially here. We pursue jobs. We pursue letters after the end of our name on a business card with our degrees. Some of us pursue a certain male or female that we really like. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we pursue, like, some kind of physical stature. Do you pursue gentleness? Do you think, man, I got to find that stuff? Wow, I haven't had my gentleness today. I need some more of it. Hey, you know what? I'm lacking in gentleness. Hey, you know what? I had an argument with my wife last night. She did not seem, on a reaction of her face, like I was being gentle. I better go find some gentleness. I better pursue gentleness because right now it's not being originated and created in my being. Do we pursue it? Which means you go after it. Which also kind of gives this implication of a continuance, right? Someone's in pursuit. We think of that like someone's in hot pursuit. They're continuing to go after, over obstacles, under things, trying to find it, to get it, to have it. Do we feel that way about gentleness? God wants us to be gentle. And gentleness, check this out, is usually strongly felt when it is needed. Now give me a minute for this. It's strongly felt when it's needed. There are times when people are gentle and it can go almost unnoticed, right? Because it's the circumstance is just kind of whatever. It's just easy. But there are times where a specific situation or a specific person needs gentleness. And when it arrives, it is welcomed and thanked, and it's a blessing. There are times when we know someone needs something and we need to address them with gentleness, and it will impact them dramatically. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. If anyone's caught in a transgression, what that means is if someone gets caught in a sin, be gentle with them. Help them in gentleness. Don't slap them upside the head. Say, bro, what are you doing? Although that might be gentle for some of you, so whatever. But it also shows us that we are going to help our brothers and sisters who sin, which means that's part of church life. Don't get too carried away with this bubble that we live in, and don't talk to me about my sin. That's my thing. Don't judge me. Don't talk to me. Nothing. I have my own thing with God, and I'll be over here. We'll talk to you in heaven. That's not what the Bible shows us. But when we sin and it's there, gentleness should be there. One, because God is gentle. Two, because God wants us to be gentle. Three, because it's needed. I mean, how many of us want to get hit upside the head and reminded again about the sin? As parents, I've probably done this way too many times. I'm a fallen human. Oh, bring it up. Why do you have to do this? I know I did that. Why do I have to do it, though? It looked like this. I know what it looked like. I just did it. Why do you have to talk to me like that? Wow, is that what we need? Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary, all who labor and are heavy burdened. I will give you rest." There's another aspect to this, though. If we're not gentle with people, then check this out. The exact God that we might be trying to represent, we might not be representing the truth of who he is. If we go out and we are not gentle, the very Christ that we are supposed to be a witness for, we will not be doing a good job witnessing. Because if you are a believer, you are a witness. Good or bad, you're a witness. Right or wrong, you're a witness. But what kind of a witness are we? And I would hope that someone who needs to see the gentleness of Jesus can see it from us, because if they don't see it from us, go somewhere else to find it, if they haven't been dissuaded by us already. See, perfect timing. They may go somewhere else. Are we willing to display the gentleness of Jesus? 1 Peter 3:15, he talks about defending the gospel, when you approach people, when you talk about Jesus, do it with gentleness. I imagine all of us in here have seen a Vine, an Instagram, a Facebook, a YouTube of some Christian guy or gal just ripping out their mouth on someone who wasn't Christian. Or ripping off about someone else who is Christian and just tearing them apart. That's not right either. That's not gentle. Again, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason. So we are to be prepared to make a defense. Defend the gospel. Talk about it. Be prepared to do that. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. When we're not, it's not helpful. It's not appreciated, and that's not how Jesus does it. It's almost like, the weird thing is, when we read all these verses, this is a weird thought. It's almost like we're always supposed to be gentle. I'm not a genius. And I could be wrong. I'm wrong at least once a week. And this Sunday morning, so it could be today. But if I start off wrong right now, I got issues, but I have issues anyway, so thank God I have forgiveness in Jesus. Amen? Great. But we are reminded over and over to be gentle in so many ways. Probably would behoove us to just say, you know what? I should just make that a part of my life. I'm just going to try to be a gentle human being. In fact, I'm going to try to take all these fruits. I'm going to go out a limb here. I'm going to take all these fruits and try to just make them part of my repertoire. I'm going to put them in my quiver. They're going to be my tool bag. I'm going to walk around with them. And I'm going to fail, just like Brandon does every day, all day. But God has forgiveness, and he's going to help. Philippians 4, 5, Paul says, let your gentleness be known to everyone. To everyone, the Lord is at hand. And that's in the passage that talks about don't worry, rejoice, let your gentleness be known to everyone. Which means people should see it in us. They should feel it from us. They should know that about us. When we walk down the street, if it's someone that we've seen before, they should at least have some kind of a hint. That's a gentle person over there. I've bumped into them before. There's something different about them. I don't know where they get it. Maybe at Vons, but I haven't seen gentleness at Vons. Maybe Trader Joe's has it, but it would be organic. Organic gentleness is great. It comes from God. But do they know that we're gentle? If you were to ask your peers, hey, give me 19 character traits of me. What if we all did that today after church? Someone who's not here, right? Text them and go, give me 10 characteristics of me. Go. I don't know. Would it be rad if gentleness came through and be like, boom, right? I got gentleness. Comes from God. We got to cultivate this stuff. The band can come on up as I kind of get to the end of this. We got to cultivate it, though. The rad thing is that it comes from God. We don't have to build it. We don't have to buy it. It comes free from God. And John 15, 5 says, Jesus is saying, I am the vine, you're the branches. You and me bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And Jesus is telling us the fruit comes from him when we hang with him. So the prescription, the take two of these and call me in the morning, is to hang with Jesus. Hang with Jesus. Read his word, pray to him, talk to him, and guess what? The fruit will just, wow. There's just gentleness. Your neighbor might be like, dude, you got gentleness written all over you. What happened? I'm just hanging with Jesus. You should try it sometime. I just hang with Jesus and this fruit just comes out of me. I'm kind of fruity. It's great. Spiritual fruit, whatever, comes from Jesus. The world wants it. Whether they know it or not, they want it, and they love it about you. We love it about people when they display the goodness of God. We need it. I believe we are built with that hole in us. It's a hole for God, but also the ability to need godness in people. He made us relational. Last thing. What will you do in your life to cultivate? What does it take for you, for us, to see it? Is it writing it on our mirror? Is it getting on our knees and saying, Lord, I don't even like gentleness. This is where I'm at. It's not part of my thing. Lord, will you please develop that in me? Is it putting a sticker on your visor in your car so every time you go like this, sun, ugh, oh, gentleness, rad. Is it tattooing it on your forehead? Forehead would be weird because then the mirror would be backward. You'd be like, Celeste, I don't even know how to say it. But maybe you get what I'm saying. Where do we need to put it? It's my prayer for us that as God is gentle and we see that, And as we know that he wants us to be gentle, that we follow that call. And we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We're going to take communion in a minute as they play the music. One of Jesus' most perfect examples of his gentleness was at the crucifixion. He didn't yell. He didn't scream. He didn't fight back. He could have. He didn't call legions of angels out to destroy everybody. He could have. Yet he gently took the beating that we deserved. He gently took the death that we were due. So that one, we would see his love. One, he would save us. And we would know him. So as we take this morning, as much as you're going to hopefully get right with God and understand the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, his body and his blood, maybe just on top of that, picture the gentleness there and understand that he has that and he wants that in us. Let's pray. Lord God, you are a gentle God. There are times that we don't feel it, and sometimes our eyes are fixed on the wrong things. We are human, we are fallen, we are in need desperately of your love and your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness, and you give that to us gently, abundantly, repeatedly. Lord, help us to be gentle. Help us to seek it, to pursue it. Help it to be an urgent thing for us to follow you and be more like you. And Lord, now as we come to the table, I pray that we would be mindful of our sins, but understand that you have paid for them, and we don't need to be beat up over them by the world or by the enemy. You have cleaned us by your body and by your blood. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.